they treated, Esther went with us, they treated Esther so well, she wanted to go back the next day, and so did we. So we just really had a good time together. But tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing out there and how you guys operate as a mission group, a mission team. And I especially want to hear what those ladies are doing, okay? I want to hear some details on that, so please.
Well, good morning. Not sure I have this on, but is it on? Okay. Well, thank you for having us this morning. As he has stated, we're from the Campers on Mission. Okay. Hey, we got it made now. We're the Cunninghams. At this stage in life, we are so blessed to be able to go out and share our love for Christ through the use of our hands. We have some true craftsmen in our organization, and then we have some people like myself that are helpers. Okay? Twice a year, we go out for 1 or 2 weeks for a major event, okay? And normally those are to youth camps, could be a church, even the Baptist children's homes we went out and worked at. So you're really blessed. You have a beautiful camp. It's a great facility, a lot of green grass there, beautiful trees, and it is a great place for the youngsters to have time to experience. Many times it takes you away from the everyday routine to really study and get to know Christ Jesus. So having a facility like that is a great way of doing that. What we do is we go in, whether it's painting, actual construction of a building, putting in new windows, anything that needs to be done, it really makes no difference. Now, if you're a craftsman, that is absolutely great. If you're not a helper like myself, there's always a need for that. Now, we have many rallies, is what we call this one, where we go out, and the time period is not specified on a mini rally. It can be from a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. Whatever the need is for that particular facility. And we supply the labor. We supply all the tools. And then the camp or the church, whatever, supplies the materials. And they give direction on what they want done. And that's exactly what we do. Oh, make sure the facilities are up to par. Go ahead and share what the ladies do.
Well, he talks about the men doing the work. The ladies are out there working too. This week I chipped paint off walls. Some of the ladies paint. We quilt. Can you hear me now? There. Okay. We quilt. We give our quilts. They're all for donation. They go to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, Baptist Children's Homes, nursing homes, wherever they might need to go. The Veterans Center, they go there, Veterans Home. And usually, in a week's time, we can put out 40 to 50 quilts. We make them, we tie them, we send them. So we set up in a kitchen or in a room, wherever we can. We bring our own machine, their own fabric, our own everything, and we just build for the community. And we love doing it, absolutely love doing it. And Esther was a great help. But the ladies are out there. They're out there. One lady was mowing the grass. We have some that will do the painting, help in the kitchen, wherever they need it. There's always something that anybody can do. So come and join us. We would love to have some more people in our group. And as you can see, we're not kids. One of our campers turned 84 last weekend, and he's out there working. So, and these men are up on the roofs, they're down in the holes, they're everywhere. So, anybody can do it. Please join us.
We have a list that we're going to have with us. If anybody is interested in any information about Campers on Mission, please sign up and they will send you information. We have a website, mm-hmm. So you can understand what we're where we're at and what we're doing, and please pray for us, if nothing else.
Definitely.
We really enjoy and solicit your prayers.
Right. We need to have prayers for health, because, like I said, we're not young people. So keep us healthy so we can do God's work.
Well, I'd like to just step up here and pray for you guys right now, if I could. Okay?
Certainly.
And we're going to join in together. Dear Father, I just want to pray for the Cunningham family. We want to thank you for them, for all the others, Lord, that came along with them with this mini rally, and just what a blessing they are to the camp. I appreciate the work they're doing, but I appreciate it even more that while they're there, they're praying. And I can just sense the Holy Spirit among them. The type of just love they have in their fellowship is just such a blessing to that campground. And for the quilts that are being made. And that part has been like just a special surprise to me. The way that they have made those quilts and they're donating them, and just all the way around, there are people being blessed, and I know they're being blessed. We do pray for their health. We pray for their travels. We pray for their facilities, the travel trailers that they have, and just everything. Lord, I pray that it would bring glory to you. And we just want to thank you for the special gift that they're here with us today, Lord. What a blessing that is. And I just pray you bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. If anybody has any questions, let's give them a hand for coming. I appreciate that. And they're going to be available after the service. They'll probably stand back there with me if you have any questions that you might want to ask them about how you can get involved, or just different questions. I mean, it's just an awesome opportunity. How many of you guys like to camp occasionally, you know? And maybe your dream is someday to retire and get a camper or something like that, you know? That's just a wonderful way to use that. And because I love to camp, too. It's great to get out away from everything and have an adventure. You know, some of the folks in their group, I don't know about you all's situation, but I know some of the folks, that is their home. And they go, they will go, you know, different places, different times of the year, but they spend the entire summer in this area, just going from one of these to the next and trying to find ways to serve the Lord. And so I praise God for all of them. And you all remember, a lot of you that are here, some of the work that was done on the old church whenever different things were set up there. Paul and Evelyn Berner were part of Campers on Mission, and we were able to benefit and be blessed by, you know, as a church, by some of them coming at different times of need. And I know Bill and Sharon have been trying to get me to get Campers on Mission together for the camp for a while. And to be honest, I wasn't in a position to really lead very well at that time with the pastoral work, too. But now that we have someone that's really focused on that, Brother Kevin, that was one of the first things he wanted to do. But this is what Bill and Sharon always told me. They said, now, if you call them, you got to make sure and have everything organized, because these folks get some work done. And you want to make sure you've got your materials coming in, because they know what they're doing. And buddy, I'll tell you what, they knew exactly what they were talking about. And these folks have been doing a good job of what they do for many years. And then they bring that gift and offer it to the Lord. And so I just want to praise God for that. You know, it's a good experience for all of us, because, you know, we are all blessed to have different callings, different blessings that we can offer to the kingdom of God. And I want you to know, God don't just own your Sundays. If we're a child of God, He owns us 24/7. And that's the best place we can be, is to be a servant of the living high, most high God. And so we are blessed. As far as announcements go, I wanted to hit just a couple, and then I'll get into our message for the day. The main one is, tonight, we will not be having a service here at the church at 6 p.m. Okay? So hear me well on that. We are going to move our service down to the school to join with the baccalaureate there. And baccalaureate is a Christian service that's dedicated unto those who are graduating of that graduating class. And this is the first ever in Kingston school system since they've had a high school. So I think we need to give God a hand, because He's doing a good thing right there. We're thankful that our school administrators wanted to have this, wanted to have an opportunity to bless these young men and women who are graduating this year that want to come. And so we want to be a part of it, and so we're going to join in with them and join in that spiritual blessing being passed on to this group of young people who are graduating and are going to come. I think there were supposed to be 13 or 14 of the graduating class who were planning to come tonight. We'll pray that maybe more will show up than that even. But I know one of the administrators expressed the main thing that he also wanted to see happen here was to make sure they got a Bible as well. And a Bible was offered to them on their way out, a nice Bible that they'll have for many years to come. Because as he said, if we offer the Word of God, that's what will change their lives in the days to come. And so I want to praise God for that. Good things are happening. And then as far as when we look at different things on the calendar, I want you to have one of these whenever you leave so you got our dates. But we'll be celebrating Mother's Day next Sunday. We have a business meeting next Wednesday on the 17th. That's not actually next Wednesday. That would be the next one. And then we have May the 20th. It's going to be a work day out at Bates Creek Camp. And so there's going to be some other cleanup and preparation work going on. I'll tell you one thing they've been doing this week out there that is close to all of our hearts. You know, we donated our cabin to the camp, and it needed some work. And they've been finalizing a lot of that work that was needed to be done on the inside. They've got the whole place repainted, new ceilings finished up. They replaced the walls going into the bathrooms, and it's really going to be in ship shape for this year for camp. And so we're really thankful for that. And then on May the 27th, we're going to have prayer breakfast here at the church. Remember, every Saturday at 8:30, we try to have people here praying. And so please remember that. You wake up early on a Saturday morning, you want to come for prayer, come on over, because there'll be people here praying at the church. Shall we? And also, there will not be any children's program on Wednesday. Shelly and I are going to be out of town this week, and there was just some logistical stuff with the other helpers. They couldn't all be together and available to help, so we're not going to be able to do the children's program on Wednesday, but we will resume the very next Wednesday. So please be in prayer for me and Shelly this week. We're leaving on Monday, tomorrow morning, to go to Michigan. We were offered a free pastor and wife's retreat. And yesterday I think I just kind of hit like a wall being stressed or whatever. And so I praise God it came at the perfect time. Do you think God knew I was going to need maybe a little break? And so he offered us this full week we've got from Monday to Friday at this retreat center. And I just want to praise God for that. And so please also know that I'm going to be out of town. If you need something, we have Brother Bill and Brother Harold that'll try to be available through the week. And keep their numbers. I don't know if my phone will even work there. It may or may not. You're welcome to try to call me if you have a need. But I appreciate having a little bit of time away so that we can kind of recoup and focus on one another a little bit. And so I'm very thankful for my wife. I want to just say that up front as well. For us to be able to get away. We were joking with the campers on mission. They had a job for me on Monday, and I said, I'm sorry, I want to be gone. And I said, well, I guess they would probably let you just, well, no, that probably wouldn't work, would it? It was a joke. But we're going together, and we're going to get some time together. So I praise God for that. Let's open up our Bibles to Joshua. We're kind of getting God's Word here. This is where we find our answers. And God's got answers for every aspect of our lives. Amen? And it's so amazing how complete God's Word is. Last week we read about how all these different kings came against the Gibeonites. And there were five different kings. Something we understand about the kingdoms of that day. You know, we think of kingdoms as being like great, big, huge, vast nations. And there were some of those back in those days. But these kings were basically kings over fortified cities. Okay, they would have like a little city-state. And they were the king over that area. And so these different kings came together and they fought against Gibeon, because Gibeon had made a deal with the people of God. And so that made them angry. And not only that, Gibeon was a very fortified city. It was like a royal city. And so they knew that this didn't look good for them, because Israel had already destroyed the cities that they had come upon, Jericho first, and then Ai after they sought the Lord. And they knew that they were coming for them next. And so they decided maybe the best thing to do would be to go after Gibeon. They could get a stronghold there, because they didn't want Gibeon to be helping Israel in their pursuit of taking over this entire land. And so we're going to be looking at in Joshua 10 further on, because we understand that God moved heaven and earth to help God's people that day. Whenever they came against the people of Gibeon, we look at verse 12 there. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord that day. This is in Joshua 10. When the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I say praise God. God still fights for his people today. Amen. When they needed it, God actually and seemingly made time stand still so that they could completely destroy the enemy that was upon them. And remember last week, those that were here, we discussed the Amorites were the people that were so large and they scared the first spies who came 40 years before. And so what we know is there's no enemy too large for God either. Amen. And no matter what the size of God's people are, whether they be many or they be few, God is still the one who makes us a majority. Amen. And so when God is on our side, and when we are on God's side, he is on our side, and we have nothing to fear. And so let us be on God's side today. It goes on to say in verse 15, then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. So you remember, they came together, five different little kingdoms, with their armies and their kings, and they came against Gibeon. So that means they left their fortified cities. Those were the leaders of those fortified cities to come and do this attack. This was a preemptive strike that they were making, hoping to get an upper hand. And so they're all separated from their cities at this point, and they found them hiding in this cave. And so Joshua went back to Gilgal, which was that first camp that they had stayed at when they first crossed the Jordan River. And he's giving them instruction here. And it says, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one moved his tongue. I skipped a verse. Let me back up to verse 20. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they had finished, and those who escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of Israel, the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they had brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Sounds like an interesting scene, doesn't it? Sounds almost kind of brutal too, doesn't it? Why didn't they just go ahead and kill them in the cave? Why didn't they kill him as soon as they came out of the cave? Because that's their fate, right? They're going to be killed. Joshua has them come out, and he tells all the people to come over and put their feet on their necks. I know it sounds kind of gruesome to us, you know. Hopefully we're more peaceful people than that, right? And a lot of people get real upset with the Bible for these reasons, because they say, hey, look at the way they treated people back then. I want you to understand that these folks were people that had become so completely wicked. They were rolling their babies into fires, okay, as sacrifices. So we need to understand who we're dealing with here. And not just that, they're a representation of something greater. You see, to us today, as we look back on this, this represents true evil. These people were like representing the kingdom of Satan, okay? And so we need to understand what this representation is all about here. So the people of God had come in to destroy the face of evil. You see how this is being played out? And so whenever the evil kings are brought out so that they can be completely destroyed for everyone to see. Guys, this is what Judgment Day is going to look like, okay? When we get down to the very, very end, and there's the great white throne, and you're reading about it, chapters 19, 20 of Revelation. This is a representation of it ahead of time in the Old Testament. And this is what also a representation of what we're called to do whenever we come to Christ. And the evil that we have followed in the past. You know, before you came to Christ, before He's your Lord and Savior, you're following the prince of the world. Amen. We may not want to admit it sometimes, and we may sit back and say, well, I've never followed Satan in my life. When you're not following Jesus, you think that you're your own free agent. You know, in reality, you're being deceived and you're following the devil. Amen. And boy, whenever I found that out, that there's only two masters and I got to choose one of the two, it was a freeing thing in my life. Then I wanted to get all the way in with Jesus. Because before that, I thought there were three different choices. I thought there was the devil and God, and then I could just choose to follow myself sometimes. That's really not it, guys. You see, Jesus talks about there being two masters. It's either Him or it's the devil. And we really need to make up our mind. Now, I want you to see what's the end of the devil in all this, okay? The fact that He tells them to come out and put their feet on the necks of these kings, and they drew near and they put their feet on their necks, then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. The reason why he displayed it in this way wasn't just to be gruesome. He was making a statement about having complete victory. Guys, they were taking out the leaders of these cities, and they were doing it in a very descriptive way, making an example of them, saying that the next thing they were going to go do was go take the cities completely. They were going to take all that ground completely. Now, what I want us to do right now is not just look at this physical battle and get grossed out by it. What I want us to do is let's do the translating process from one language to another here. We're going to understand our enemy is not flesh and blood, right? We find that out in Ephesians. Our enemy is the rulers of darkness of this evil age. Okay? You know, whenever somebody is coming against you, and a lot of times maybe they're spewing hate and they're saying things that's really blowing our minds, and we're saying, how can that be coming out of them? What we need to understand is it may be coming out of them, but it's not coming from them. Our real enemy is the power that's behind that, and they are actually being held captive in His will. You see, they are like a hostage. And the enemy is really speaking through his hostage at that point. So let's not look at the person and hate the person. Let's hate the enemy who's behind that person, and that's Satan and all of his demons. And they are real. And I'm not looking for them behind every bush like some people say the Baptist preachers do. Guys, I don't have to. I see them manifesting themselves in the world today. Okay? We see it happening through ISIS. We see it happening through Hezbollah. We see it happening through all these different hate groups, even that we might see in our own country today, okay? All the racism and all that nonsense, both sides, it's all Satan who's orchestrating all this stuff, keeping us. How about in family units? You think Satan works in families? Absolutely. Do you think he'd use even me if I was weak and allowed him the opportunity? Absolutely. He'll use my mouth for his mouthpiece if I'm not careful. We all have to be on guard. But what we really need to do is do just like they're doing here, okay? We just need to go ahead and put our feet on their necks, and we just need to completely destroy them. We put our feet on their necks just like it talks about here in 24, and so it was when they brought them out that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, "Come near, put your feet on their necks, and these kings and the necks of these kings," and they drew near and put their feet on their necks. They're saying, we're going to completely conquer them. We are going to completely take care of this. And then whenever we jump forward to the next verse there in 25, look at that again. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Beloved, do not be afraid." You know, I know the enemy seems real strong, but guys, just like Joshua said that day, "Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord," you notice what he said? "Thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." You think spiritually, okay, we do the translation process here in the spiritual today language, what it means to us right now. Do you think God's able to destroy y'all's enemies? Any enemy who would come against us, he is absolutely able to destroy them without a doubt, guys. When you're safely in God's arms, you're safe eternally forever. Now, do you think we'll have to suffer some in this life? Absolutely. Jesus said so. But I can tell you that ultimately, he's already won the battle, so be of good courage. Guys, when we think about that and the whole thing about the foot on the neck, although it sounds brutal, what I want you to understand is this is part of the fulfillment of the promise. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, whenever God is pronouncing the judgment on the serpent, okay, do y'all remember what he said on that one? All right, to the serpent, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." Now, who was actually inspiring the serpent? Who was this? This was Satan, right? That's who he's really speaking to. So don't just go try to crush every snake you come across, because that's fulfillment. No. Okay? I know. I see one out there smiling. I know you want to. It's okay. I do too sometimes. Okay, the snake wasn't the bad guy. It's the serpent who's the bad guy. Okay? It's Satan who's the bad guy here. All right? It's who was inside of that. Okay? And he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Notice seed is capitalized there. This is ultimately talking about Jesus. "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Which one's going to be a fatal wound? I've bruised my heel before many times, and I'm still here to tell about it. But whenever you have a mortal head wound, that ends your life. Okay? And so what this is saying is ultimately, in the end, Jesus is going to destroy Satan. Okay, these guys represent Satan, and so the people who are in the line to Jesus are now destroying them in the same way, with their foot basically on their heads. Okay, so you see how this is working out. It's to show us that the promise is real, and the promise will be fulfilled for them, and the promise has been fulfilled for us. Okay, but he still roams around. He's still got some limited power left for a time. And guys, I'll tell you, the only reason why he still does is because we invite him to have that power, honestly. Okay? But there's going to come a day whenever he's finally going to be thrown into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and when he's let back out to cause a little bit more trouble, then he's going to be thrown into the lake fire, and that's going to be the end of all that nonsense. And I praise God for that day, and it's just as well as it's been done already, because God never goes back on one of his promises. Amen? So let's give God a hand that he is destroying Satan right now, and he has really no power over us other than that which we allow him or invite him to have in our lives. Amen. So what kind of power does he have over us? It's whenever we tell him, "Okay, I'm not going to totally destroy you in my life. I kind of like that one little sin that I'm involved in." Okay? You guys ever have that one little sin? Are you kind of coddling in it, maybe even in your life today, without realizing it, whatever it may be? You know, for everybody it's something different. I'm not getting down on anybody, and I'll just be honest with you, we're going to have to struggle against this for the rest of our lives. Okay? And once you get that one destroyed that maybe just popped into your head, some of you may be looking at me confused thinking, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Well, you will someday, okay? Because there's going to be that one little thing that's going to try to take over your life that you got to get a stranglehold on. By the power of God, God gives us the power to do it. We got to agree with him on this, okay? And we're finally, he'll give us the power to eradicate it out of our life. You know, for some people, it may be something really big and obvious. You know, it can be like alcoholism or a drug addiction that's just ruining our lives. And like everybody can see how it's ruining our lives. For another person, it might be fits of rage. And I mean, I just blow up. And I'm, you know, I was telling the youth today that one of my most obvious problems will be whenever I get really mad, I make the window shake in the house. And they went, "Huh?" Well, if you were there whenever it happened, you know what I'm talking about. If I blow up, you know, my anger, I don't contain it properly and do the healthy things with it, it really can not be pretty. It's real easy to look at that and say, look, Dad's sinning. You know what I'm saying? It's real easy. For some of the rest of us, it may be something really secret. Nobody else even knows about it. Okay? Actually, some of the ones that are out in the open are easier to finally admit you got the problem, right? Than the one that's secret nobody knows about, because then Satan's just beating you up in private all the time. Maybe y'all are sitting out there and you can understand that. Guys, the idea is let's completely destroy it. And you can, through the power of Christ who lives in you. Okay? Will Satan come back another day and try a different way? Sure. He may even try the same way again. He does that too. He'll try to blindside us. But guys, let me help you understand something. Just like Joshua told them in that last slide, do not be afraid. Be as strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all of your enemies. Guys, here you get, same for us. You got power over that sin. Don't let Satan keep you in it no longer. Get it out in the open. Put your foot on its neck. Let's kill it today. Okay? And then let's move forward with God. Let's kind of keep looking at this, because there's some other stuff that happens in this Joshua passage. Well, one more passage from the New Testament about this thing of the foot on the neck. This is a great promise. Romans 16:20. And some of you guys have sang this song at camp. I wanted to have all the youth come up and sing this song. You guys want to do the chorus of this one? No, they're screaming no. Okay. It's pretty cool, though. If you look at the whole passage, and the song is just built off of the passage to music. But we'll just focus on this last verse of it, which is verse 20, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't that beautiful? So like the people of God are going to feel the experience like the people of God are feeling it physically there. That Satan's finally going to be crushed under our feet. We're going to be done with him. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I think we just need to give God a hand again. Because, you know, thank you, Lord, that you are destroying him and you're going to let us feel the victory someday. Amen. That's what I want to feel, is that full victory. We are fighting from victory, though, because the work that needed to be done was done on that cross, right? On that cross. So that kind of brings me to the next thought here. We see some symbolic stuff going on here. And so this can be puzzling to us, because these were bad guys that this happened to, right? These are these five bad kings, the ones who represent Satan. We got this figured out. Okay, so what did they do to them after they killed them? Yeah, verse 26. Verse 26, and afterward Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded that they took, and they took them down from the trees and cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Wow. Some of this stuff sounds kind of familiar, don't it? Do we remember anybody else that was hung on a tree, on a piece of a tree, was taken down right before evening, was put into a cave, and then a big stone rolled across the front? Does this sound familiar to anybody? Amen. And we just celebrated that empty tomb a couple weeks ago, right? And we're still celebrating it today because it's still empty. This all sounds familiar. And we kind of keep going here, all right? This all sounds familiar because Jesus became sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? He actually became sin. Read 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can keep your finger there. We'll come back to Joshua. But I want to kind of complete this thought for us. This is after it tells us we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus was perfect, but he allowed himself to be superimposed, to have our sin on him, so that whenever he died on the cross, he was dying for us, not for himself. You get the idea there? And so this is symbolic of the one who would come and die on the tree. Okay? Jesus was hung on a tree. Jesus was sealed in a cave with the rock. But you see, there's one big difference there. There's that one little part of the end of verse 27, where that these five kings were thrown in there, and those large stones were put over the cave's mouth, and then there's this one little part. Can you back up one slide? This one little part at the end. And those stones and those kings remained there until this very day, which was when this was actually written. Guys, they stayed in that cave. They died. They were wicked. They stayed there. The stones stayed there. Big difference between them and Jesus? Jesus wasn't wicked, and so he was perfect. So when he was stuck in that cave and that stone was raised, the tomb is empty, right? Theirs is still full. Jesus is empty. His tomb is empty because he arose. But here's the cool part. He arose. He is perfect. He had fulfilled it all, but sin and death stayed buried in that cave that day. And I praise God, because that's the representation there from those five wicked kings. They stayed buried just like our sin and the power of death stayed buried. And so that's the exciting news today, guys. That is a perfect representation of the gospel right there. Jesus died, hung on that cross until nightfall, was buried in that cave. He arose, but the power of sin and death is dead. Praise God. Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. I've got some people around that keep trying to convince me that hell isn't real and it doesn't go on forever, and I don't know how they can read that verse and not think that hell goes on forever and ever. Amen. We're all happy that the devil's going to be tormented there forever and ever, but guys, I want you to hear the rest of the story. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. We need to keep reading, though. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, if you know how this all plays out in the book of Revelation, you'll know that all of us who are in Christ, we're already part of the first resurrection at this point. We are with Christ during this judgment. So it's not us that's going before that white throne judgment. Our life has already been judged. But everybody who died and they weren't in Christ, they're being raised up from the ground and they're having to come before this throne. Everybody who lived during this millennial reign period, they're being judged before this throne. And guys, I'm just going to tell you something. Here's what it says. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone. So how long did that torment of that lake of fire go on for Satan and the demons? Forever and ever and ever. And now everybody who's not found in the lake of fire, in the book of life, were thrown into the same lake of fire. So how long is their torment going to be? Forever and ever and ever. So here's the big question we want to end with. All right, we've determined that this picture we see in Joshua is pointing forward to Christ. We've determined that this picture we see in Joshua is pointing forward to the destruction of Satan. So now what we need to really end this with is your name in the book of life. Because now, we fast forward to Revelation, we understand something, guys. It's the only thing that matters. This whole entire life experience, from beginning to end, has that one thing that really matters for every one of us. And guys, once we find it, and our name's written in there, it says we won't be blotted out, okay? What we need to understand is, depending on what part of our life that happens in, the rest of our life should be all about that fact that our name is written in that book of life, and wanting other people's names to be written in that book of life too. This is the Lamb's book of life. It's labeled more than one way in the Scripture. This belongs to Jesus. He knows who are His. And guys, is your name in that book of life? You may say, well, if I'm not sure, how can I get for sure? By truly surrendering your heart to Jesus. Saying, I repent of my sins and I'm giving my life to you today and I'm going to follow you. I want you to be my Lord. And I'll tell you, you know, then some people say, well, I've done that, but I don't know. I just haven't really seen a change. The only thing I'd have to say is, you just keep seeking God until you start feeling that change. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. It ain't about a feeling, but you will notice that the Holy Spirit's living in you because He starts to change stuff around. And it can be like real quiet at first, and we can even fall away from it for a time, and we might wander around and here and there, but I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, He don't let go, and He never forgets, and He continues to call you. And you know what else He'll do? This is the cool part. You'll say, why is this cool whenever I get done saying it? But you'll understand. Cool part is, if you get away from Him, the Holy Spirit who lives in you is going to make you miserable. And we want to praise God for that. Because, guys, I don't want Him to let go of me. I don't care how stupid I get. I don't want Him to ever let go of me. I want Him to keep pulling me back, drawing me back. I don't want Him to let me be satisfied anywhere else but then in the middle, the center of His will. I want to be miserable if I'm anywhere else. And you know what? I think that's another one of those signs of salvation as well. You'll find that you want to be with Him. You'd rather be His servant. You'd rather be a slave to Jesus. That's what that word servant actually means. Than to live in the tents of wickedness. That's what the psalm says. Guys, is your name written in the book of life? Do you know your name's in that book of life? If it is, you may want to come to this altar and say, thank you, Jesus, that you let my name be in the book of life. That's not a bad thing, a praise offering. I love it. Amen. You may just need to get down on your knees up here and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Father, please forgive me. Not because I can be good enough, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, and I want to serve Jesus the rest of my life. Whatever it may be, guys, today is the day. Don't put it off. I don't know where we're at. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the first one there this morning because I need God to cleanse me. I need God to bless me. I need to tell Jesus thank you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If God calls you up here today, do it. Yeah, you can get saved somewhere else. I got saved in my living room. It doesn't have to be at the altar of a church. But what I know is, if we're in that relationship with Him, do you know what we need to do is just obey Him. So whatever He lays on your heart, let's obey Him today, okay? And then from that point on, He's got some awesome things planned for us. And we're also going to have some suffering. But you know the cool part? He'll be with you as you go through that suffering. That's the cool part. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He promises us that. So let me pray for us right now. Dear Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that we know that the foot is already on the neck of the enemy. He's as good as destroyed. As soon as that happened on that cross of Calvary, Lord, and whenever his foot was put on Satan's neck, Satan may still cause a little ruckus for a little while, but we know he's got no power. The only power he has is the power we give him, literally. The things that we allow to stay in our lives that are eating us up, Lord, now let us take a stand against them. Let us be like these elders who walked up there with Joshua and they too put their feet on the neck. Because what we understand is You're going to crush Satan under our feet someday. Praise the Lord. Let it be today as far as the sin that I struggle with in my life. Lord, crush the power of the enemy so I can be a cleansed vessel for Jesus Christ today. And Lord, help us to live for You with all our lives. If there's anybody here that says, man, I've never committed my heart to Jesus, I'd like to do that today. They're convicted of their sin. They're feeling guilty over it, and they just want to release all of that to You. Let them come forward today and receive eternal life. And Lord, it ain't something we receive and then lose, receive and then lose. It's something once we receive it, we have it forever. But Lord, let none of us be self-deceived into thinking we've got some security that's outside of Jesus, because it's just not possible. I'm not good enough to go to heaven, and I never will be. But Jesus made the way. Lord, bless us today. Lead us in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you all stand, please.
Just as I am without one plea. let me come to Thee, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to Thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, with many a doubt, fighting with pain and fear, with that, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, poor, wretched, my sad riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, Thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
I love that verse, because of Thy promise I believe. I want you to know, God's never broke a promise, and you got to remember that. God never has, and He never will. I'd like to see if have any testimonies at this point. Anybody have anything on your heart that you want to share? Anybody have a testimony? No? All right, do we have any birthdays?
Birthdays. Anniversaries.
Right. Yep. If I could have everybody have a seat for just a second. We had some of our little ones learn a song, and they really wanted to sing it for y'all. It's the Sermon on the Mount part of it, so do they need some help? This will just take a couple of minutes. I think you'll be blessed by it, though. This is a wonderful way of learning, memorizing Scripture, is by song. And that was one of the classes that they did at their home school